It's time now for another dose of Beauty's Truth Serum, Beauty Inside Out, with health and beauty expert David Pollack and co-host Lisa Davis.
When I was in my 20s, I always bought secondhand clothes because I didn't have any money. And then I continued in my 30s and in my 40s. Money or not, I still buy secondhand clothes because they're good for the environment. And you can get some great stuff, David.
Well, as we were talking before the show, you shocked me with some things. And we're going to have to talk about with our guest. Because I never knew that fashion really affected the globe. So, let's jump right to it. Today's guest is Greta Egan. And she is an ecopreneur. And I love that. She's the founder of FashionMeGreen.com. She's the author of Wear No Evil and How to Change the World with Your Wardrobe. And you guys just hit on a topic that I can't, it just blows my mind. So, Greta, are you with us?
Yeah, I'm here. Hello.
Perfect. You know, you've written a new book, and you talk about merging style with ethics. We talked a little bit about before the show, but is that what Fashion Me Green is all about?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that in so many different areas of our lives, you know, we pay attention to our food and where it comes from, how it was grown, and if it's pesticide-free. We might care about the cars we drive and how energy efficient our light bulbs are. And when it gets to our wardrobe, there's just a huge disconnect where people haven't in the past necessarily paid attention to where it's coming from and what the impact is. But more and more people are asking those questions. And especially with the tragedies that we've had, you know, recently in Bangladesh, it's in the media and in the news. So that Fashion Me Green is kind of bringing a resource to people to say, well, what is the backstory, and is it still stylish? Because without style, you know, there's no real point, because we want to look our best and feel expressed.
Let me ask you. You say, you know, people, your name of your book is Wear No Evil is the first part. So what are we wearing that is so evil or so bad for the environment? Because, you know, I just assume, you know, we use cotton or whatever we're going to use to make the shirt I'm wearing. But how is that so evil?
Well, I think what it's about is innovating, right? So if we do, as a society, if we do something in one way that works and, you know, producing cotton, and we found that cotton was a great fabric, and then we had the spinning ginny, and we produced all this cotton, and then we found that, well, we could grow more cotton if we used pesticides, but then now we're learning, well, maybe pesticides aren't so good, and maybe cotton's not so good, because it's a really thirsty plant, and are there other materials that we can use, other materials that maybe are less water-intensive and are less harsh on soil, or that can be recycled again and again and have a longer life cycle. So I think it's almost like an evolution, and people becoming aware of the different options. But also it can be really, you know, if they are using toxic dyes, and this is the whole Greenpeace campaign that just came out, where they got, you know, big brands like Levi's and H&M and Gap and Mango to sign on and say, well, we want to be chemical hazardous toxins free by 2015, by 2020, because we're recognizing that some of the stuff that we are using to make and manufacture fashion isn't necessarily as good for us and the earth or sustainable as we originally thought that it would be.
Now, Greta, one thing that we were talking about before the show, that it takes, what's the estimate, 1,500 gallons of water to produce one pair of jeans. And that's why I've been such a huge fan of secondhand for so long.
Yeah, and that's, you know, I tell people, I tell my clients, and I certainly, when I'm doing other interviews and stuff, I tell people the best way to kind of get your feet wet with sustainability as it relates to fashion is to shop secondhand, because something that already exists is actually the most sustainable choice, because it's already out there. The energy, the resources, the chemicals or the dyes or whatever it is that was used to produce it, the labor has already been used. So if you can give that a second, a third, or whatever life cycle, that actually is the best kind of option. And it's the cheapest sometimes, so it's a really good, you know, win-win situation.
Okay, let me back up, because let me say this for the listeners that are more like me, because you're hitting me with a subject I know nothing about. You know, I go to the store and I buy a cotton shirt or whatever. I don't even always look at the material. I buy what I like. So you guys just said something that's shocking, and I want to make sure we heard it right. It takes 1,500 gallons of water to make a pair of jeans. Is that because of growing the cotton or the material and then processing it?
Exactly. I mean, so I think that that's what people are starting to awaken to, like yourself. You know, it's like it's shocking, and we had no idea that it took that much energy or water to make just a single pair of jeans or a single T-shirt. But you're right, you know, from start to finish, growing the cotton and then the processing, you know, jeans are very intensive because they do this kind of the finishing process. To get the different, what's it called, the fades of jeans. You know, you get some that are dark wash, and then you get others that are more distressed. Well, going through those processes is very water intensive, and can be very chemical intensive. So
I don't think I use that much water in my household in a month. I got to look at my water bill. But no, I'm being serious. If that's more than I use in a month, and I'm just guessing, I can't imagine I use more than that. You mean tell me that pair of jeans is equivalent to a household every month or something like that? That's astonishing to me.
Yeah. Well, and that's where the conversation shifts, is to say, well, would you rather have water for a month or a new pair of jeans? And when you put it in that context, then I think we kind of start to realize what we're talking about.
Well, and then you hit on a couple other things. The pesticides that are used in growing the cotton or whatever else is used, the toxic dyes or the synthetic dyes. You know, we often talk about hazardous chemicals found in our skincare. We talk about it in our food.
Absolutely.
We say beauty inside out. You've actually gone more than outside. You've gone, you know, to the fashion side. And a lot of people don't realize those synthetic dyes. I've sat in the hospital room where someone was diagnosed with cancer, and when asked why, you know, they explained is certain types of cancer, they know the cause, and one was synthetic dyes. And I said, like what's in the foods? And they said, no, we can tell you work in the fashion industry because you're messing with the clothes, whether it's at retail or in a factory, and this type of cancer is because, and that is just shocking to me. And so we're putting poison on us just by the fashions we choose. And now you're getting into the environmental impact of some of the fashion. So tell me, you've got some great suggestions. We could use some secondhand things, but what else can our listeners do to get involved? You mentioned some of the companies are making changes to chemical-free. How do we know? How do we get involved? What else can we do?
Yeah, well, and just to talk about what you were saying, you know, people don't realize that what we put in our bodies, what we put on our bodies, what we put next to our bodies, they all have an impact. And Christoph, who's one of the co-founders of Amore Vert, which is an eco-friendly line that's based out of San Francisco area, he's done the research, and he shared with me that manufacturers who do consumer production for fashion in Asia, and specifically he was talking about China, they are required to treat the offcuts, so the pieces of clothing that they don't use when they sew something together, like a shirt, they're required to treat that fabric as hazardous waste because the chemicals used to produce it are that toxic. But then we turn around and buy that same T-shirt and put it next to our bodies.
Wait. So it's that's their law in those factories overseas. They're treating the wasted material as hazardous.
They're required to treat that waste as how that the offcuts of the fabric as hazardous waste because
I'm speechless.
It's that toxic, the chemicals they use exactly. And then, like I'm saying, you know, and then we turn around and that same shirt is for sale for $14, and we buy it, and you know, it's made in China, and we kind of are like, you know, well, that's part of how we buy fashion these days, but we don't know that backstory, and that's the backstory that's coming out, and that's the backstory that people, you know, people are, they're responding to, they can feel it, some people get rashes on their skin, they don't know why, and that's why, so anyway, so I just wanted
to touch on
that.
Okay.
Yeah, you know, Greta, we just have a very little bit of time left, but I just want to mention it really, this makes me think it's worth it to get that, you know, 100% organic, you know, clothes that I see, right? I mean, if you can afford it, I think it's a good way to go. And also, again, the secondhand.
Well, the secondhand, and then you had said, you know, how do you check these brands? And I think the best thing is just to start looking at the brands you like, the brands that are stylish that you respond to, and then you go to their website and you can see, you know, what their credentials are. And they're openly talking about it.
Hate to cut you off. Some great advice. Visit fashionmegreen.com. This is David Pollack with my co-host Lisa Davis, and you're listening to Beauty Inside Out on Radio MD. Stay beautiful and stay well.